Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. Next, electric scooters. Anyone living in an urban area will have noticed a rise in the number of them on the roads and footpaths in cities and towns across the country. The law states that their riders must be at least 16 years old, that they're not allowed to travel more than 20 kilometres an hour or allowed to carry passengers or use footpaths. But many people will also have seen those laws broken. There has also been a rise in the number of collisions involving e-scooters, jumping from 310 in 2023 to 422 last year. That's a 36% increase. And this year, that trend seems to be worsening, with 260 collisions in the first 6 months of this year. And those collisions can have devastating results. We're joined in our studio now by Dr. Raymond Carson, a consultant in rehabilitation medicine at the National Rehabilitation University Hospital in Dunleary in Dublin. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
You're concerned about the rising number of collisions involving e-scooters. Why?
Well, the stats which you just referred to are quite stark. Year on year, there's an increase in reported accidents involving these vehicles. And with the increased number of accidents, we're seeing more and more people getting hurt, often with very severe injuries. And at the National Rehabilitation Hospital, where I work, we see the most severely injured people. And really, it's a case of having to help people to pick up the pieces and move forward in often difficult situations.
What kind of injuries then are you seeing?
Well, injuries occur across a spectrum, and the lucky ones who fall onto the road may escape with cuts and bruises, perhaps broken bones. But at the other end of the spectrum, we're seeing people with severe head injuries and spinal cord injuries. And I work on a brain injury unit at the NRH, where I look after people who are recovering from brain injuries in particular. And the effects can be, again, across a spectrum, but the patients we see are the most severely affected and often have very altered lives as a result.
Yes, so it's not a case that, like, some of these patients don't fully recover. They have to learn, or they have to live with a lifelong injury.
That's true. And brain injury, again, ranges across the spectrum from milder forms, concussion with some residual symptoms like memory difficulties, confusion, etc. But again, across at the other end of the spectrum, there are more significant effects on both the body and on the brain function. So people, for example, have a loss of power in their muscles. They may have severely compromised mobility, and they may have severe cognitive problems, memory, concentration, behaviour, and so forth.
Is there a difference then between people would say, people riding bicycles versus people riding e-scooters? Is riding an e-scooter more risky?
It absolutely is. And riders of e-scooters are among a category of road user called vulnerable road users. And in the case of e-scooters, the very machine itself is, if you like, built for failure. When you think of a narrow platform on top of small wheels ridden by a rider who is standing, already the recipe is there for catastrophe. So these are vulnerable machines, but yet, when you think of the improved power that many of these devices have, I referenced the UK manufacturer of a turbocharged device, which is reportedly able to achieve speeds up to 160 kilometres an hour. So when you factor in speed on top of an inherently unstable machine, it's a recipe for disaster.
And it is the stability that causes the issue. Is it that's why they are more risky than a bicycle?
Well, whatever the manufacturers will say, the fact that the rider is standing up on a narrow platform, that, going back to secondary school physics, that's an unstable system with a high centre of gravity. So the risk of toppling is already increased.
What about the age profile then of the patients that you see every day in the National Rehabilitation University Hospital?
Well, we look after people of all ages, but for the most part, in the case of e-scooter accidents, we're seeing an increasingly young cohort. And that was borne out by a survey carried out by the Road Safety Authority last year, which looked at the profile of injuries and demographic profile of people involved in these accidents. And a few key headline points have emerged from their survey, one of which is that the majority of e-scooter users appear to be a younger cohort, the 18 to 35 age group, and males, young men in particular, are the most common users of these machines. And that, again, would be borne out by the patient that we treat at the NRH.
Which means then that if those people do end up with a severe injury, that you know they're possibly going to have it for a very long time in their lives.
Well, a brain injury is not just for the weekend. Very often the consequences can be lifelong, and that is the sad reality for these people. And obviously with ongoing treatment and rehabilitation, we always strive to ensure that people can make the best possible recovery. But sadly, it's an incomplete recovery in many, many cases.
There are rules to improve the safety of these devices. People are not supposed to, the e-scooters themselves are not supposed to go any faster than 20 kilometres an hour. They're not supposed to be on footpaths. Passengers are not allowed. If those rules were enforced, do you think you would see improvements at your end?
I think if those rules were enforced, we would see a reduction in the frequency and severity of the injuries sustained. And I think I mentioned yesterday that in the article that road safety is a public health priority for all of us as road users, whether we are pedestrians, car drivers, motorcyclists, or e-scooter riders. We all have a collective responsibility here to mind each other and to observe the rules of the road. And I think as part of that, while the Gardaí are doing great work in detecting instances where e-scooters are used illegally, I think the most important plank here is education and prevention. Mm. And to that end, the Gardaí, as well as the Road Safety Authority and other agencies, are doing a good job in terms of raising awareness of the dangers of e-scooters, particularly amongst school children.
You've written about this, as you mentioned yesterday in the Irish Times, and you say in that people should wear a helmet when they're riding these e-scooters. Do you think that helmet wearing should be mandatory?
Absolutely. And I think it's a great surprise that it isn't. It hasn't been made mandatory. There's a large body of international research which has looked at the wearing of helmets amongst cyclists. And obviously we're extrapolating from those studies. But again, the big headline findings here are that wearing a helmet when riding a bicycle or an e-scooter can reduce the risk of serious head injury by up to 60%. And the risk of death can be also greatly reduced. It's such a simple thing to do, and yet it isn't being done. And we have seen with recent work done by our colleagues in Connolly Hospital and St James's Hospitals in Dublin that the majority of young men who are coming in with these injuries haven't been wearing a helmet.
All right. Dr. Raymond Carson, consultant in rehabilitation medicine at the National Rehabilitation University Hospital in Dunleary, thank you very much for coming in to our studio today.
Thank you, Justin.